The one thing that all mothers can do, and we say should be doing, to help their sons and daughters grow up, to become godly men and godly women, is to pray for them. Of course, if there are godless mothers, they probably wouldn't want that. They probably want their children to be great in this world and achieve some success as far as career and whatever it is that they strive for. But every godly, every Christian mother, I believe, has this deep desire. One day, I would like to see my children serve the Lord. That's a decision they have to make when they grow up. Mothers cannot make that decision. Fathers cannot make that decision for their children. Their children must choose on their own. But today, we want to look at a woman who was a wife, but not a mother. She was sad, and perhaps she was angry or definitely very upset. Now, we cannot even imagine what Hannah went through because her husband had two wives. She was one of her husband's wives. Her counterpart, if you will, her competition had children. And not only did her competition just have children, but she mocked and looked down on Hannah. Ha ha! Our husband loves me more than you. Look, I produce children for him. Hannah was agonized. And this tension, this frustration drove her to pray more seriously. Now, there are several options that Hannah could have had. One, she could have left her husband and said, "Forget it, I'm done. This is not working, I'm finished." But we read that Elkanah, her husband, loved Hannah very dearly. He even told her, "Look, you are more important to me than all the children you could bear for me." He assured her of his love for her. So it was hard to leave in that situation. So Hannah stayed. The other option that Hannah could have had is become very bitter. Every time, every year that the family went to Jerusalem to pray at the temple, Hannah could have stayed, "I want nothing to do with that. That's just all religious stuff. And look at all the corruption that's going on in the country and even in the sanctuary there. I want nothing to do with that. I'm staying home." It would be very easy to do that, right? What was hard for Hannah is that she went along. She went along with the family. She watched the other wife, how she interacted with the kids. And she probably looked sometimes with yearning, sometimes with jealousy. Sometimes she looked and she thought, "Oh man, you know, if I had kids, I wouldn't treat my kids like she does hers." Just think the practical way of what Hannah went through. But she went along. Every year they sacrificed, and every year was the same. Again, she came home, no children. Now, I want to stop right here. I want to say this. Those of you who have tried to have children, and you don't have a child to cradle at this time, Believe me, Hannah would fully understand you. She would know exactly what you're going through, the frustrations, the waiting. The hopes are up, and then they're down again. Why? We don't understand why. But let's look at the situation in Israel. The whole country was actually in a spiritual decline. They had rejected God as their king. That was no small matter. The religious system was also corrupted. It was a time of corruption and chaos in Israel because everyone simply did as they saw fit. This is what the book of Judges says. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. We say, well, that was full freedom. Everyone could do whatever they wanted. It wasn't good. Because in the temple, among the priesthood, there was corruption. And there was evidence of corruption. And the Bible tells us Eli's sons were wicked men. And they were serving in the sanctuary. They had contempt for the sacrifices, but they served as priests. Eli didn't put them out because they were his sons. He had lost control of his sons. His sons committed immoral acts. And Eli didn't do anything for it. Now, in this situation, coming to the sanctuary, to the temple, knowing about these corruptions that are going on, in the middle of all this, you have one mother who is crying out to God for a child, one mother who prays from her heart, who cries with her heart to God. And as we heard, help is on the way. That was happening in Israel. God was about to change something big in Israel. Hannah cries out to God. Well, she knew, even if she had cried out before, she knew that God does answer prayers. And loved ones, it doesn't matter how often we have prayed for the same situation. And the devil comes to you and me and says, see, you prayed about it and it didn't happen. Pray more, because God does answer prayers. Sometimes we have to pray through a situation. I cannot tell you what Hannah was going through. The hurt, the anger, the sadness. And some of you, as I said before, you know exactly what she went through. You've gone through similar situations. But what we know here is that Hannah cried out to God. And that is our example. She says simply this, I am a woman who is deeply troubled. And I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. She was very honest about her situation. She did not beat around the bush. She was not trying to smooth it over and say, oh, it's okay, oh, it's okay, it's okay. You know, I don't deserve any better. You know, some people think that that's humility, just saying, well, I don't deserve any better than what I got. No. Sometimes God challenges us to really cry out to Him. And then He hears our cries. He hears our prayers. The Bible says we are to delight in the Lord, and He will give us the desires of our hearts. I know that this is a very sweet truth of the Word of God. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you whatever you ask. Not always. But the first thing, that's what Hannah did. She was not bitter. She was delighting in the Lord in the sense that I know my God, he can do things. He can change things. You know, she didn't hide from God how she felt. She came to the Lord and poured out her soul, her heart. When is the last time we did that? To pour out our hearts. To wholeheartedly just cry out to the Lord. Lord, I need you. I need your help. I am totally dependent on you. I know you can heal my hurt. I know you can forgive me. I know you can help. I know you can change things. And I trust you. And you may go home and say, well, I don't feel anything. I cried out to the Lord and it didn't help, so I give up. No, keep on crying to the Lord. God wants us to be persistent in prayer. Verse 17, Eli answered, go in peace. This was after he had confronted her. Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. You know what happened? She didn't know whether she was going to have a son yet or not. She didn't know that, but she was comforted. She had cried out from her heart. She had prayed through. Have you ever felt that you're so in such an anguish, your soul, everything is so riled up inside. There's such a pressure, and there's such a, you feel so desperate. And then you cry out to the Lord. You go on your knees and you pray. And then all of a sudden this comfort, this peace comes over you. A peace that is beyond human understanding. It comes over you and you're comforted and you can eat again. You can go about your way. Early the next morning they arose and worshiped before the Lord and went back to their home at Ramah. And the Lord remembered her. And she conceived and gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. She asked the Lord for a son. Very specific. And God heard her. Now, does this mean that God will give you whatever you want, and if you pray for a son, he will give you a son or whatever? He will answer your prayers. That's what our assurance is, one way or another. He will give you that peace that is beyond all understanding. So what Hannah does next is very remarkable as a praying mother. And I want to read two passages out of the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. And this is very important. The challenge came that she had to follow through on her vow. You see, she had made a vow. When you make a vow in prayer, be careful. Because God will hold you to that vow. If you promise the Lord something, maybe you and I, sometimes we forget what we have promised the Lord. Have you ever prayed a sinner's prayer? Have you ever asked the Lord to forgive you your sins? And have you ever promised the Lord, Lord, I want to serve you. I will serve you the rest of my life. But are we still doing it? Did we keep that vow? That's very important for us to keep the vow that we promised God, because he will hold us to our promises that we made. Hannah knew that. Hannah knew the seriousness of a vow. And so there was no doubt in her heart that she was going through with that vow. But it meant a sacrifice. And we can just imagine how this was just tearing at her heart. She had this son, Samuel. And she knew every day that she held him in her arms, every day she knew, very soon, I have to let go of him. I have to keep my promise. In verse 21, we continue to read, when the man Elkanah, her husband, went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Her husband says, do what seems best to you. Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. So Hannah stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy, Samuel, with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephod of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. Now, just picture this. I'm not sure how much Elkanah and Hannah and their family knew about the corruption in the temple. But Eli was the high priest, so they brought Samuel to this high priest whose days were numbered because God could no longer use him as a high priest. They brought him to the high priest, to Eli. So she said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. This is where things get difficult for a lot of parents, for a lot of mothers, to let go, to commit our children to the Lord. After we have finished raising them the best we knew how, with all the mistakes and all the missteps together, we must one day let him go. And that takes trust in the Lord. Trusting that the Lord will watch over them, that the Lord will have his way with him. And this is what she had here. Eli already had 2 wicked sons, and now she gives her son Samuel over so that he will be in the care, under the care of Eli, the high priest. Now, couldn't she have thought, I don't want these wicked sons of Eli have any influence on my son? No, she trusted the Lord. That was part of her praying. That was part of her commitment. That was part of her vow. She knew, when I give Samuel over to the Lord, I have no control anymore. Once a year, they had a visit with him. Imagine that. Once a year, they could visit with him a couple of days. And that was it. As a young boy, only once a year a visit. Yet she had prayed, and God was gracious. God used Samuel in a wonderful way, and we know that. So if we give our kids over to the Lord, as painful as it may be, maybe your child comes one day and says, you know, Dad and Mom, I think God is sending me to Africa, or God is sending me on a mission field. God is sending me to this and this country. And we say, no, 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 don't go there. Those are heathen and godless people, and something may happen to you. You may get sick and die. Well, people get sick and die in this country too. You know what? If our young people come and say, God is calling me to ministry, you should rejoice with them and say, yes, that's what I've been praying for. to be a blessing, to be used by God. So Hannah, after she gives this sacrifice, after she lets go, she worships and praises God. Isn't that beautiful? Look at 1 Samuel 2. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance, for the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, and those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who are full hire themselves out of food, but those who were hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, and she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. The Lord raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." And then they went home to Ramah. But the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. Because of one mother's faithful prayers and her willingness to dedicate her child to God, broke the chaos and the corruption in all of Israel. It brought a time of peace into Israel. It blessed so many people, so many nations, and even us today through the work and ministry of the prophet Samuel. Was this evangelist? The story is told by evangelist Billy Sunday. He tells of a minister who was making calls, house calls. He came to a certain home and asked to speak to the mother, but the child said this, "You cannot see mother because she prays from 9 to 10. So he waited 40 minutes to see that mother. But when he saw her, it was like a light of glory on her face. This child knew from 9 to 10, do not disturb. That's prayer time. And it made a huge difference. All her children became ministers and missionaries. We need praying mothers, even in our day and time. See, we need pastors in ministry, in pastoral ministries. There's a need for pastors. And I want to encourage you parents, not just mothers, but fathers and mothers, to pray that God would put his hands on young people and say, "I want you to do my work." That is so important. For the next generation, generations to come, may God bless you all. May God bless all of you mothers. May God help us all to have a prayer life. And that when we are disturbed or, like Hannah says, grieved in our hearts, that we cry out to him. For he hears our prayers. Amen.